We would like to discuss today two more aspects regarding Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai, things regarding issues of raw food, and then we'll transition towards what is the definition of Ola al Shulchan Malachim and how we deal with that practically. So, the first question we need to deal with is food that is not eaten raw only because it is dangerous. There is a place in Russia or Ukraine called Chernobyl. There was a big explosion there a number of years ago, and the entire city and all the surrounding areas are full of atomic radiation. So Rav Vozner was asked in the Shevet Levi Chelek Yud in Simen Kuf Chaf Hey 125 regarding a businessman who for some reason had to go to Chernobyl, and the water there needed to be boiled every single time he drank it. There was no such thing as having uncooked water. And therefore the question was, does that mean that in the area of Chernobyl, or if you go to that region in Ukraine, that a person cannot have any water that is cooked by a guy, because it is not Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai. It has to be eaten. It is only eaten there when the water is going to be cooked. So Rav Vozner responds with three reasons why it is not a problem. He says that, first of all, the food is normally eaten raw across the rest of the world, and we're not going to establish what goes on in Ukraine based on this one freak accident, and water is certainly considered something that is normally eaten raw. The second thing he says is that if enough time passed, you know, hundreds of years, so the water would be fine, technically, and the radiation would eventually pass. So, therefore, he says, technically, the water in itself is fine. If you waited long enough, it doesn't necessarily have to be, at this moment, it doesn't have to be cooked in order to eat it. It's just based on certain circumstances that could eventually pass, it would be fine. But inherently, technically, the water is fine. He says, and lastly, he says that water is not something that's Ola al Shulchan Malachim. And therefore, I mean, obviously kings do drink water, but in the definitions we'll see later on, it's not something that's considered Ola al Shulchan Malachim, and therefore another reason why the person is allowed to drink the water in Ukraine if it is boiled. In the Sefer Bishul Yisrael, on page Kuch of Zion, he then moves to Mexico. Mexico has a similar issue for anyone who's ever been there. Don't drink the water unless it is cooked or bottled from a company. And therefore, says the Sefer Bishul Yisrael, the same reason, if you go to Mexico, all the same rules would apply. When you go to Mexico, since the water there can only be eaten boiled, one might think that water is not Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai, but he says no, certainly water would be fine, and if a guy were to boil you water in Mexico, that would not be an issue at all. Rabbi Heinemann on the Starka website really says it very clearly. He says the prohibition of Bishul Akum does not apply to foods whose form and taste do not change through cooking. The water is not going to change when you cook it. It's going to technically be the same. And this applies even to food that would normally not be eaten without cooking. Then he says, for example, pasteurized milk or distilled water. Yeah.
Is that like the Shita of the Ran Rashi, that the first criteria after the issue also applies that it doesn't change as a result of cooking?
Meaning to explain Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai? It could be. It's... Yeah, I don't know, call it a third shita. He might be, no, I think he's just interpreting the definition of Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai, meaning that's his definition of what it means, that if it wouldn't change. The next question, as we just mentioned, is milk. Milk, nowadays, is pasteurized, always, everywhere. It's actually against the law in some states to sell raw milk. It could be that it's usher to drink raw milk because raw milk is very dangerous. And there, if you go on the FDA website, they'll show you a terrible video about all the terrible things that will happen to you if you drink raw milk. So raw milk is a problem. So you can't drink raw milk straight from the cow. You have to pasteurize. You have to cook it in order to eat it. So the tshuva of Rav Yotze Tzvi Dushinsky. Rav Yotze Tzvi Dushinsky was the head of the Eidah Haredis in Yerushalayim towards the beginning of the 20th century. And in Chelek Aleph and Simen Mem Vav, he's not sure. He says maybe since milk cannot be drunk unless you pasteurize it, it could be that milk is something that would qualify as not something as Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai. And if a goy were to cook milk for you, or in the factory, and he were to heat up milk to pasteurize it, it could be that it would be a problem. He leaves it as a suffix. Even though the Rambam in Machos Asuros, in our Perek Yud Zayin, says clearly that milk is something that's Ne'achal Kmo Shehu Chai. And he says, even so, the Metzias has changed, and milk has to be cooked. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Yud, in Simen Samech Zayin, picks up the suffix of Yossi Tzvi Dushinsky, and he says that if it's possible and it's feasible, one should be machmer for this. So another reason he says to be machmer, possibly for Chal Bisrael. As long as you know that the Jew is heating up the milk, doing the pasteurization, he says it's proper to be machmer, if it's easily attainable, to only have milk that was pasteurized by a Jew. It is a fantastic chumrah, though we are not noeg-like. Yeah. I'm saying it is removing the bacteria. He must not agree to Rav Heinemann's definition. That's not, it's not difficult. He just doesn't agree with that definition. Milk, I guess you would think that milk could be something that's Ola Shulchan Malachim. I guess we'd have to say, according to Minchas Yisra. So, or as we'll see later on, perhaps he follows a more machmer definition of Ola Shulchan Malachim. And this is his explanation. He says that a person should be machmer when feasible to only have milk pasteurized by a Jew. Rav Osner, in the same shul in the Shevet HaLevi, says that is ridiculous. He says his milk is ne'achal chayim, and he says that pasteurization removes harmful bacteria. It doesn't improve it; it just removes something that's bad. Another possible cooler when it comes to the definition of ne'achal kmo shulchai. It's not adding something; it's simply removing something that's harmful. And finally, he says that in its essence, batzmuso, he writes, it's edible uncooked. Meaning, you wouldn't know the difference until you got very sick later on. But when you ate it, in its essence, milk, it is fine. It doesn't taste bad if it's not cooked. In batzmuso, he writes, it's drinkable. And just there are other issues that come in on the side. So you've already gathered a number of kulas already when it comes to defining what is considered cooked and what's not considered cooked when it comes to this issue of milk and water. He adds in the Kovetz Mibeis Levi in Cheliches that cooking is done to preserve. It's not done to improve it. Perhaps that type of cooking as well. When you cook, when you pasteurize the milk, it preserves it to be able to last longer. And another reason, perhaps another definition, in order to apply a leniency as well. And in the Sefer Bishul Yisrael, they start with Yashuv and Rav Heinemann and the Chalkos Ben Yamin all say there's no issue with milk, and therefore we're perfectly fine drinking our normal pasteurized milk. Let's discuss a few issues of raw foods that are cited in the Nosei Kelim and that have changed over time, just to make sure that we go back and see these things. We'll see that it might not be the case nowadays. The Marsham writes in Chelek Beis and Simon Reish Samach Beis that onions are not ne'achal kmo shulchai. Onions can only be eaten when cooked. And therefore, if a goy were to cook or fry an onion, so that would become usur. And this is the opinion also of the Divrei Shalman Chelek Vav. And they both cite a very clear Tosos. Tosos in Shabbos Memchah says, Afa pisha pa'amayim ochlim batzel chai. Even though sometimes you could eat an onion while raw, mikomakom eno roi le'achal chai. It's really, in its essence, not really edible to eat an onion raw. Something has changed in the last 1,000 years because Rav Osner writes that nowadays people eat onions raw, and so does the Chalkos Ben Yamin, that raw onions are eaten with other things, right? You put a raw onion in a salad, and therefore onions are now removed from the Isser, and they are considered Ne'achal Chai as well. The Chacham HaSadim writes in Klal Samech Vav, as was the Aruch HaShulchan here, they say that carrots are also subject to Bishul Akum. If you cook a carrot, that would be a problem as well. However, Rav Osner writes in Vav Kovchas in the Shevet HaLevi that people eat raw carrots, and therefore raw carrots are wonderful. Rabbi Force writes in his Kosher Kitchen, he has a fantastic list of like every single possible food when it comes to Bishul Akum. So he writes that cabbage is also something that's eaten raw nowadays, and therefore that would be fine as well. And the Shach here writes in Sifkatz and Beis, in Kuf Yud Gimel, he says that mushrooms are subject to Bishul Akum. And this is cited by the Shevet HaLevi, but Rabbi Force says that nowadays people eat raw mushrooms, so if a guy cooks a mushroom, it's fine as well. And Rabbi Force also says that spinach and cauliflower can also be cooked by a goy. There's no problem. They're ne'achal chai because people eat it raw nowadays. Which then brings us to the issue of sushi. Sushi is raw fish. Now, does that mean that all fish now is not considered ne'achal kmo, is considered ne'achal kmo shulchai because people eat a lot of sushi? And therefore, we've just solved Bishul Akum in a lot of areas because fish is something that's commonly cooked, and this would really save us a lot of trouble. So, Rabbi Ganak, in the first volume of the Masorah Journal. The Masorah Journal is the journal in the back of the Beis Medrash that nobody ever buys. So when you in the first volume of the Masorah Journal, so Rabbi Ganak is discussing tuna fish, which we'll return to later on. So he writes there that since it's common to eat raw tuna nowadays, and he wrote this a while ago, maybe 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago, he says that since raw fish is eaten, and at least tuna is eaten raw in sushi, therefore all tuna is not subject to Bishul Akum, which we'll help later on with the issue of the cans and buying in the store and things like that. That is Rabbi Ganak's opinion. Rav Shechter disagrees. In the Daf HaKashrus, which was put out, I think, last year, which is number 22, 4, Chaf Beis Dalet, so Rav Shechter writes that, first of all, sushi is not eaten alone. It's going to be eaten with other things as well, along with it, with the rice and the vegetables. And he says, in most cases, the fish makes up a miyut of the entire sushi itself. It might not even be rove of the entire sushi roll. And the fish is tufel to the entire sushi. Certainly, gabi hechos brachos, Rav Shechter thinks you'd make a mizonos, and you wouldn't even count the fish when it comes to it. And there's room to follow those shitos who are machmer, that something is considered Nechal Chai, is not considered Nechal Chai if it's not eaten alone, against the Magen Avraham. And therefore, combining all these reasons, he says that certainly fish is still considered something that is not Nechal Chai, and we cannot be Mako. Just other points as well, outside of what Rav Shechter said. You have to go and prove by each individual fish to show that this fish in the majority is eaten raw. You have to bring a list and say, I can tell for sure that this tuna is always eaten like this, and this fish is always eaten like this, and unless there's nothing to discuss until someone can do that. I don't think we have such records, and therefore, we'd have to assume at the end of the day that fish is still something that is considered not nechal chai, and we have to be machmer for goyim, or to cook fish as well. Rav Uzner writes in Chelek Tes and Kuf Samech Gimel, that if you travel to Japan, you'd still have to be machmer as well, even though they perhaps will say that in Japan they eat a lot of sushi, that certainly the majority may be sushi there in Japan. He says you still have to be machmer. And there are other issues of sushi as well, not related to Hilchos Brachos. There's a Shabbos issue, making the rice, is it Megabein? Is raw fish might be mux on Shabbos as well? What's the bracha on it? The bugs in the fish? All these things. So sushi has its own issues. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you were saying before, whether or not, like, each particular type of fish, if more people eat it raw than cooked, then it wouldn't be a problem for people either cooked than raw.
Then you'd have to, yeah. Like, I'm saying you'd have to show statistically.
Like, rove, eat it cooked or raw?
You'd have to show rove, eat it one way or the other, in order to push it one way, whether
right.
It's to be nechal chai.
I'm wondering, because onions in the salad, you know, even though onions are commonly eaten raw in the salad, maybe you could still argue that still rove eat it cooked.
Is that true? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay.
Unclear. Next, let's move on to Olal Shulchan Malachim. So as we saw, the Shulchan Aruch brings both Shitas brought in Tosas and Lamed Chesem and Aleph, that it's a viable Hetzer for if something is not Olal Shulchan Malachim. This is brought here, as we said, in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Chida writes in the Shuri Bracha, and it's also brought by the Kaf HaChaim, that it doesn't have to be Dafka Malachim. You don't have to look at a melech. It could be a sar, an important person. It doesn't have to be dafka melech. It just means a chashuv, a person, not exactly have to be the king of any country. Now, the most common definition brought by most of the poskim is that it has to be something that a melech would eat at a chashuv a meal. That's the common definition. Pretty much everyone brings this. The Menachas Asher writes it in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. And I'll just quote very clearly from Rabbi Heinemann's explanation. He says that foods that are not prestigious and would not be served at a king's table when hosting an official state dinner. He gives an example, baked beans or cornflakes. So these foods are permitted because a person does not experience deep feelings of gratitude and appreciation when someone warms up a can of string beans. Therefore, cooking non-prestigious food, which is his definition, non-prestigious food, would not bring on a feelings of closeness between preparer and recipient. Any food that would not be served at a wedding, feast, because it is not elegant, he gives an example as donuts, would certainly not qualify for Bishul Akum. And this is the classic definition. Again, we have to discuss the different cases. We can debate back and forth what is and what's not, but that is the classic definition. In the same article in the Masorah Journal, Volume 1, so Rabbi Ganak says that he heard the following maisa from Rav Shimon Schwab in a conversation that Rav Schwab had with the Chazon Ish. And the context was about sardines. And he asked the Chazon Ish whether sardines were something that are olal shulchan malachim, and the Chazon Ish said yes. And Rav Schwab asked why. And the Chazon Ish responded as follows, this is at least in Rabbi Ganak's words, Melech Anglia ochel sardinim ba'ad aruchas haboker shalo. Because the King of England would eat sardines at his breakfast table. And that, says the Chazon Ish, is sufficient. When it says olal shulchan malachim, it doesn't mean a chashuv meal. It means that the king would eat such a thing. So obviously, the questions are going to be, so what does that exclude? We'll get to that in a second. The Chaznish is not alone in this. People say, oh, it's the Shita of the Chaznish. He's not totally alone. The Rav Vosner feels like this in Chelek Yud, Rav Sternbach in Chelek Hay in Shuvas HaNagos. He says that's why breakfast cereals are subject to Bishul Akum, which is a big chumrah. And Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Kovet Sa'ar and Chelek Dalet as well, saying that this is the definition. It has to be something that the king or queen would eat even at their breakfast meal. The definition here means something that is not respectable, something that's, you know, something that's like gross. You know, you see all these, like you go to the state fair and they have, you know, something deep fried in something inside of another thing, which is deep fried inside of that, wrapped in bacon, so whatever. So something like that, which is not, you know, respectable, that, you know, a respectable human being would not eat something like that. I'm not judging people who go to state fairs, but a respectable human being would not eat something like that. That is something that is removed as being olal shulchan malachim. It has to be something that a dignified person with some level of self-respect would eat, will course the three meals during the day. Again, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that the Queen of England wouldn't try that thing at the state fair, but it wouldn't be olal shulchan malachim. Okay? That's the definition of, according to the Chaznish, something that's not gross. Yeah.
A snack also would be, even like
a snack would be. Because we would assume that the Queen of England wants to have a snack. What?
Something that they would eat during a meal, like as a pseudo.
Does it have to be, oh, in the context? I don't know.
They talk about, like, say, potato chips, like hot dog.
So that's going to be subject to debate about potato chips, but I think it seems to be something that they would eat in the context of a meal. Because sometimes people's like, oh, does that mean that the Queen of England won't go into her fridge and grab some ice cream? I don't know, but if she'd eat it at the table, I guess that would be okay according to the Chaznish. So that's the definition, something that's not respectable to eat during the meal itself. That would be the definition. So the minhag of the kashrus organizations is not like the Chaznish. We are makil. We don't have such a broad definition. Certainly the food we're buying in the stores are not following that definition. And that's the definition of most people. Okay. Do we follow the type of food as being olal shulchan malachim, even though this part of the food of the animal is not olal shulchan malachim? What do I mean? So the Shach here in Sifkat and Beis, and the Pri Chadosh as well, and the Sefaris Yisrael, and his Perish on the Mishnayos and Avodah Zarah in Perek Beis, all cite the Isser v'Hetzer who say that the innards of an animal, the korkavan of the chicken, the famous stomach of the chicken, right? We all know the story of Baruch Ber, that a woman brought him a shayla, and he learned to know, I'm sure he knew chulin inside and out, but he never saw the stomach, and the woman brought him the stomach of the chicken, and he said, ah, the halig of korkavan, and he was so excited to see the stomach of the chicken. So the korkavan, says the Yisr v'Hetzer, or the innards, so that is not considered olal shulchan malachim, even though the rest of the chicken is olal shulchan malachim. So you can bifurcate and separate different aspects within the chicken to find different areas that would be okay and not be okay. And they quote a Gemara in Nedarim, which I think the Daf just passed on Daf and Dalad. The Gemara in Nedarim says that a human being, doesn't eat the innards of a chicken. A man, like a person who's a chash of a person who has self-respecting, doesn't eat the inner parts of a chicken, and therefore, Mikan Raya, they say that this is not something that is Ola al Shulchan Malachim, and the Pri Chadosh says that this is simply a low plug de Rabbanan, that we're not going to differentiate, and that all these things would be considered usher as well. Okay. What if the type of food is olal shulchan malachim when it's prepared in a certain way, but it's not olal shulchan malachim when it's not prepared in a certain way? So the Emek Halacha in Yoredeya in Simen Nun says we follow the type of food regardless of how it's cooked. So the Emes Liyakov, Rav Yaakov Kanaski, writes in Yoredeya in Ha'ara Membeis, and it's also Rav Sternbach and Chulis Vanagos and the Chelek Aleph. They say that the nafkamina is potato chips. We're going to get back to some potato chips later on, but potatoes on their own might be olal shulchan malachim, but it's prepared in a way that it's not olal shulchan malachim, so therefore that would still be usur according to them. They're machmer. They say we don't care about the process, we only care about the food. And Rav Yaakov goes on to say that salami is also subject to Bishul Akam, because salami is a meat, and meat is olal shulchan malachim, even though you might not serve salami there as well. So you have to look in the entire genre of the food, and that will determine to be what it is. then you have to be machmer according to these shitas. However, before we get to the however, so Rav Yaakov brings a raya. He says that we know that if you cook a food to machal ben drusai, to just edible, so it would still be aser mitam bishalakum. And therefore, he says it's a raya. Why? Because you wouldn't serve a food that was cooked machal ben drusai on shulchan malachim. You wouldn't do that. You'd have to cook the food properly. And therefore, he says, since it's still aser, we see that the method of preparation will determine we still have to be machmer, and the method of preparation doesn't ruin it. Just like machal ben drusai would still be aser, even though you wouldn't serve it, since the food itself is the type that would be a problem as well. And in addition, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches says that if you light a swamp on fire and the fire cooks all the chagavim in the swamp, so there's bishlakim. Would you cook swamp-fired locusts on a king's table? No. And therefore, again, we see enough to be machmir. We look at the type of food regardless of the method of cooking. However, the Marsham, in the same Shuvan Chelek Beis and Reish Samach Beis, says, based on the Prichadash, we do take into account the method of cooking to determining whether something is Olah Shulch Malachim. The Prichadash says, what is the Prichadash talking about? He's talking about peas. He says peas that are cooked are usr. They are considered Olah Shulch Malachim, but peas that are roasted, apparently, are mutter. Those are not fancy enough for the king's table. So Mikan Raya from the Prichadash, that we do look at the difference in how something is cooked, and therefore if potatoes are prepared in a way that they would not be served on the Shulchan Malachim, that would be fine as well. This is the opinion of the Shevet HaKahasi and the OU and the Chalkos Binyamin, Rabbi Forrest, and this is the Minog, that we look at the method of preparation. We do care about the method of preparation, which again will be a coup later on, when it comes to potato chips. The last thing we need to mention is regarding, let's say you go from place to place. Let's say the food is cooked in a place where it is Olah Shulchan Malachim, and it comes to a place that it's not Olah Shulchan Malachim, or it was cooked in a place where it was not Olah Shulchan Malachim, and it comes to a place where it is Olah Shulchan Malachim. So in all cases, says the OU, and Rabbi Pesach Falk, in a number of places, he writes that we're machmer, and therefore we are machmer even if in your location, which is a chumrah, meaning if it was cooked in a place where it would be usr, and it comes to a place where it would not be usr, we're still going to be machmer as long as it was cooked or eaten in one place where it is ola al shulchan malachim. We will stop here, and the next thing we're going to discuss is all about potatoes. Potatoes have a lot to discuss, and we'll get to the bottom of those issues.